If you're familiar with anything about traditional orthodoxy or specifically Reformed theology, we can be a little allergic to the word experience. Rightfully so. It's been tampered with, and we have used all kinds of non-supernatural means to try and create spiritual experiences, and it's really hard to determine, is this spiritual, or am I just being emotionally manipulated? We don't want to go so far that we forget the fact that the Bible is very clear. There are promises of God's supernatural presence coming to us in the church, and it is an encounter with the living God. It becomes a spiritual experience in ways in which our soul is fed. That's what this episode is about. How do we look to Scripture and think to ourselves, yes, I can have my soul refreshed. It is a spiritual experience. And what's the difference between this and something like maybe spiritual disciplines? It's a kind of a long conversation, but the gist of it is this. We want you to believe that your God wants to encourage you and gather with you and be with you. And in the end of the day, you do walk away refreshed. You do walk away having an experience with your God. Stay tuned.
Hey guys, this is Justin. Maybe you know that you are forgiven because of Jesus Christ, but you're wondering, what does Jesus have to do with my Christian life? How is he involved in my sanctification even? Or is he concerned at all with the ways that I struggle and the way that my life goes up and down? Is there any comfort for me in Jesus when it comes to all of that? Well, I've written a book called More Than Forgiven, How Being in Christ Changes Everything, that deals with this topic from Romans chapter 6. You can find this book at theocast.org.
Welcome to Theocast, encouraging weary pilgrims to rest in Christ. Conversations about the Christian life from a Reformed, confessional, and pastoral perspective. Your hosts today are my friend John Moffitt, who I'm actually sitting with in real life, physically looking at him,
here,
not just through a screen.
Here in Spring Hill, Tennessee.
Here in Spring Hill, Tennessee. John is the pastor of Grace Reformed Church in Spring Hill. And I'm Justin Perdue, pastor of Covenant Baptist Church in Asheville, North Carolina. You might be asking yourself, why are these guys together? Well, John and I have been together, along with a number of other friends, other pastors, for the General Assembly of the Grace Reformed Network this week. And we wanted to record some content together before I hit the road and head back to North Carolina.
It's day five together. It's been a long week.
It's been a good week. We're tired because we've been spending a lot of time, even into the evenings, well into the evening, with other pastors and friends.
From around the world.
Yeah, not just from the U.S. This was our second General Assembly. The network was chartered back in the end of 2023. We had our first GA last year. And our second one this year, we're very encouraged by what the Lord is doing. If you are interested in learning more about the Grace Reformed Network, you can go to the website, gracereformnetwork.org, and you can find a number of things there.
I
think the content from our GA this year is going to be up on that site if you wanted to listen to some of the talks and panels and things like that. John preached a sermon one night, as did I. We don't talk about GRN a lot on Theocast because they're not formally related to each other, but we are encouraged.
We
by
are
what
thankful
God is
for
doing
them
in the network. Yeah,
we brought on four new churches.
Yeah, four more,
and excited about a church plant in Romania soon to become one of the churches,
one of the members. Yeah, and so it's cool too. This podcast, I mean, speaking directly, this podcast was a rallying point for Grace Reformed Network because it brought pastors together. It was a conversation for several years before the network was chartered. Guys that would listen to this podcast would ask us, who do we associate with as confessional Baptists? And none of us had really good answers. And so we ended up coming together and chartering a network in October of 2023. And there that is. We've had a good week, man. And like I said, we're tired. We trust the Lord is with us, but it's fun to be able to just sit and have a conversation. If anything, it may be more conversational today just because we're sitting in the same room.
Yeah.
And I'm going to let you go ahead and tell people what we're going to talk about.
Man, it's a subject that's, I think, very important to you and I. It's something that you and I are passionate about because we don't believe that the Christian life can or should be lived by physical means.
Sure,
you just can't do it, right? And it's
even by like natural means.
Yeah, like Paul says it in Colossians 2. He names all these outside not like outside of a section as a Christian, but like we're using external physical means to try and control our bodies spiritually. And he's like, they're of no value. Like it doesn't work. And then he points us to Christ and where he's seated at the right hand of the Father. So this conversation is a little bit more about the wrestle, the battle that we have with, like, our Christian culture has really taught us to live in a physical, disciplined area that will produce spiritual results. And you and I want to have a conversation today to say there is a lot of discipline in the Christian faith, a lot that's required for us to lay our lives down, but we have gotten off track on where that's at. And sure. Then on top of that, how do we know it's actually working? Like, how do you conclude? And then where this podcast ultimately where we want it to go is having a spiritual experience bad? Like, do we have encounters with the supernatural? I mean, these are all words that are like, oh, this is the charismatic Benny Hinn woo-woo side of the thing, you know? Well, I'm just saying that's how I felt in the past, saying like, oh, we're about to have a spiritual encounter with God.
Yeah, and the distinction we're really making is a lot of times I think we have been encouraged to use very, you use the word physical and I know what you mean, but really what we're talking about is natural.
Natural,
means. As opposed to supernatural, because it's very natural in the world, even in thinking about the words of Paul in Colossians that you referenced. Don't eat, don't touch, don't handle, all that. There's no grace in that. There's nothing supernatural in that, because a person in the world can discipline himself or herself to not do certain things.
That's right.
And it may very well be good for your life on earth.
Sure.
But there's no supernatural component to that. There's not a grace component to that. Whereas the Christian life is different because it is inherently supernatural and it is inherently a grace-driven, grace-fueled thing. And so that's a lot of what we want to talk about. But that, like you said, that undergirds where we eventually want to get this conversation to, which is, I think in the Reformed world, we get a little bit nervous about the word experience.
Yeah.
Because we associate it with a lot of things. Some of it is the woo-woo, like we're going to have a supernatural experience that sounds charismatic, charismania. It sounds like, oh, can we really trust that on the one hand? But then on the other hand, we also, many of us, have come out of the megachurch culture, the seeker-sensitive, attractional stuff, where church became really about entertainment, experience in that regard, like how you emotionally or physically feel, that became such a driver, you know, the hype train, the lights and the smoke and the, you know, we got sports cars on stage and props everywhere. And like the ambiance and the architecture of the space was meant to feel like a movie theater or a concert venue. And so like, we're just going to go and we're going to be all hyped up for Jesus. We're going to laugh a lot. We're going to have a good time. And I'm hopefully going to have this experience where I leave thinking that, oh, well, something happened to me because of the way that I felt there or because of how excited I was there. And we've come out of that and we're kind of like, it might not be the best. And so we get nervous about experience wholesale.
Sure.
And it's never good to throw babies out with the bathwater.
No.
And so what we want to talk about today, and we had a conversation about this week at the GA, is as Reformed Christians, we should reclaim the category of experience, because we do believe that our faith is a gift from God. We do believe that the Christian life is inherently a supernatural thing. This is, there's a lot that can be said about that. And we do believe in the real presence of Christ with us in corporate worship, and that God meets us and ministers to us, and that corporate worship cannot be replicated. And it's really special. And it's actually, to use an important word, it's sacred.
Sure.
And so we should really, really emphasize this. And I think it gets underneath a number of things, like even why is it that we should prioritize coming to church?
Sure.
Things like that.
Yeah.
How should I think about arranging my life and the priorities? I've just about smacked this light. I talk with my hands.
It's like this phrase makes us uncomfortable, but it's a sacred encounter with a supernatural experience.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa, like there's so many words going on there, so many triggers. And we were thinking about this and working through titles. And, you know, one of them was thinking about how like the Enlightenment taught us to only think with our brain and never with our heart.
Sure, you know, it's like
we're theologically correct, but we will never ever let it become like affect our emotions to the point where it does feel like a dead orthodoxy where
it can get there.
To that point.
Where it's all about academic theological category.
And as you know, you and I are pastors. We love deep theology.
Sure.
We're nerds. We spent almost 2 hours or an hour at least, like going down some pretty wild rabbit trails right before we recorded, just theologically processing stuff.
Trying to be precise, trying to clarify this, clarify that.
Talking about William Perkins and, Aquinas. And I mean, nerdy stuff, right? So we're the farthest from not wanting to be theologically sound.
Yeah. We never script these conversations.
Sure.
So we're just going to talk, and we trust that's why people tune in part. You know, I think it's interesting when you read the reformers. Let's just take the reformers, like to take Luther, take Calvin, take people of that Reformation era that is before the Enlightenment.
Yeah.
And I've said to you today, I would say that probably 2/3 at least of the theology that I've read in my life is very old.
Yeah.
It's not contemporary. It's not 20th, 21st century stuff. It's 16th, 17th century stuff, a lot of it, maybe 18th century as well. But I think when you read the Reformation era in particular, it's really good for us to read theology that was done before the Enlightenment, before the rise of rationalism, is really good because it becomes pretty clear pretty quickly that those people viewed the world slightly differently than we are viewing it instinctively. And now we see all these things in the scriptures as well. And you and I were talking about some of this a little while ago. I think we have to own the fact that we believe things about certainly God and his ways with us, the world, the nature of it, human nature, redemption, all of it, that sound insane to the modern ear, you know, like, and we should not be afraid of that.
Sure.
And so, yeah, like to talk in these categories of the grace of God and the power of God and the real spiritual presence of Christ with his people to do something.
Sure.
Yeah. And even that God condescended and revealed himself through rotten toothed desert tribesmen in the ancient Near East. It's like, we believe that.
Yeah.
And we believe that this is the word of God given to us through these people. And modern critical scholars look at that and they're like, really?
Yeah.
You believe that? Yes, we do. And it feels right. You know?
Yeah. Like if I were to speak autobiographically about myself, I come from a revivalistic background where we use a lot of hype, a lot of excitement, like real powerful revivalistic music and shouting and heavy, get excited preaching. So there was never any somberness.
Spit flying, sweat slinging, preaching, baby. Come on.
The only time there was somberness was during the Lord's table or the altar call at the very end.
Yeah, exactly. for sure.
But very, very disconnected theologically. Yeah. And then I get into the theological world, and it's very somber, very quiet, and very cautious about there ever being any kind of excitement, any kind of emotional, I would call it emotional exhortation, because there's I was standing next to you during the GA, and, you're a loud singer, I'm a loud singer, mm-hmm. and because you were singing loud, I was singing louder, and then I was listening to you sing, and I started getting emotional, because I was homies giving Jesus right into my ear. It was a great moment.
Brief. Not to get ahead of ourselves, but the language of Paul in Ephesians and Colossians, mm-hmm. sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to one another.
Yeah, to one another.
And we actually exhort, admonish, and encourage one another in singing to one another.
Yeah.
So here is a beautiful exhortation to corporate singing in the gathered church.
Yeah.
And don't short sell what's going on. And this is not meant to be a rebuke to the person that, you don't really like singing. You feel a little awkward singing in a group. And so you just kind of stand there with your hands in your pockets and sort of hum along. That's not what I'm meaning to do right now. But I do think it's good for us to talk to each other in these ways, that the Lord God ministers to our souls through the singing of other saints. And we've talked with our friend Chad Bird, for example, amongst others about this. There are going to be plenty of Sundays you show up at church and you are heartbroken, devastated, exhausted. It's like, I don't even know that I can sing today. Yeah, but your brother next to you and your sister next to you can sing for you and to you, and it does something for you. It's like I had this conversation with a person this week saying this very thing, that it is as though my own soul is lifted up on the voices of the other saints.
Yeah.
As we sing to God and to one another, this is an example of what we're talking about.
Yeah.
That's an experience, and God is in that. God is with us in that, and His Spirit ministers to us in that, and we should never forget it when we're singing.
Yep. I was looking to the words, and then I looked over to one of the pastors, and I saw him sing the first three words, and then his mouth just closed.
Yep.
And there was like this
yep.
awareness over him of like what he just sang.
Yes.
Right? And it was in Christ alone.
And it's good. make this great again, maybe. Right. I know I said this on a panel. Like, I turn around and look at people sometimes.
I do all the time, man.
Yeah, even in our own church services. And it even makes my own wife, Michelle, sometimes it's like, what are you doing? You know, it's like this,
you know. Anyway. Yeah, they think we're like taking count of like who's there. I'm like, nah, man.
And Michelle understands, but sometimes she's just like, all right, babe, that's enough, you know.
I try and go up early onto the stage while people are still singing so I can like hear.
But why do you look around? I think it's cool when you make eye contact with other believers who are singing.
Yeah.
This is just one small subset of what we mean to communicate today. Not to bury the lead, right? We should not be suspicious of experience wholesale. Now, do we trust how we feel? Do we trust our experiences? No, that's a different thing.
That's right.
And this very, you talk about natural means. In the world, whether it's at sporting events or concerts or any number of different places in different venues, people use natural means to generate excitement and to generate experience. That's not what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. But the Lord inhabits not only His people, but the Lord is present. We believe in the real presence of Christ with us when we gather as a church in particular. He's present through what? Well, through His word preached, through His sacraments administered. We also trust He's present with us in the prayers that are prayed and in the songs that are sung. Mm. And so for us to think about corporate worship as an experience is right and good and necessary, and it is a sacred experience. We should talk this way.
Yeah.
And we should encourage each other. Hey, it's really important for our spiritual lives and for our spiritual well-being that we're together on the Lord's Day for this, because this actually can't be replicated.
Yeah.
When you sit there and we are under the word of God preached, the word of Christ is being proclaimed, and Christ is present in that, and we do this, there is something happening, whether we're conscious of it or not, whether we feel it or not, there is something happening to us in that moment that cannot be replicated outside of that assembly. You can listen to sermons all you want to in your earbuds. You can listen to podcasts. I mean, obviously.
And they can be edifying.
They can be edifying. Sure. They can be clarifying.
Probably
they can be
are.
Helpful. Yeah.
Like you're listening to one now.
Right. And you've told us over the year. I mean, the reason we're still doing this is because we think there's value in it, because you tell us.
We're not putting them down.
This has changed my Christian life. We're not trying to dismiss any of that. But this is no substitute for what happens in the gathered church when the word of Christ is proclaimed and He is spiritually present with His people. And so we should go to church on Sundays expecting the Lord to meet with us.
Yeah, I would
and
put
expecting
this in the
experience.
I would put this in the realm of consider how to edify one another. This could be that, but it can't be your only diet or your primary diet.
Right.
You know, it's interesting, Justin, as you're talking, every time the gathered church is together, Paul uses like, well, I'm just going to say it, man. He uses experiential language on a supernatural level. For instance, faith cometh by hearing. Now, stop for a moment. Faith is the gift of God to believe the gospel,
right? To trust Christ and to apprehend Him, to be united to Him.
So he says, faith cometh by hearing. And hearing what?
By the rhema, the message of Christ.
And he's writing to the Romans, not a Roman. So he's writing to the church, when you hear the word of God preached, proclaimed to you, it brings forth faith, not only to the unbeliever, but to the believer. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief, right? Yeah. And then he connects, this is in the panel that we had. A lot of times you and I love to go to Ephesians chapter 4, talking about the gathered church and the promises that are there. But what's interesting is, Paul is encouraging the church, like, do you want to understand what kind of power the gathered church has? He doesn't he does it in reverse. He doesn't like explain how to do it and then here's the power. He goes, here's the power.
Right.
And this is what it does.
Exactly.
He says it's the same power. He tells more of a story. Like sure. Jesus descends into the lower regions of the earth.
Yeah.
He sets the captives free and then raises it. But so he's telling that story because he's saying the same power to set the captives free, the same power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is experienced.
Yeah, and his ascension and exaltation and everything, yeah.
And I have to say experienced because it says when the church uses this power, it builds itself up in
love.
Love is what we—
maturity.
Was what we experience, right? Yeah. So he's saying the gathered church, hearing the preaching and teaching of the word, administering the sacraments, I mean, why would that not be in there? Singing, preaching, all of it. It says when the church functions properly— the power of the Spirit. Now, in chapter 5, he says, grieve not the Spirit among you.
That's maybe at the very end of chapter 4, isn't it, too?
I mean, maybe it might be at chapter 4. You're right.
4:30 or something.
You're right.
Yeah, but it's same section.
Point is, it's after.
Same section.
And we think that is due to our own personal sin in our own personal lives.
Yeah, that's a whole other conversation.
Well, bring it on, man.
yeah, I mean, sure. The whole give the devil a foothold thing.
Yeah.
Or grieving the Spirit of God thing. Mm-hmm. All of those types of words are spoken into a corporate church kind of context.
Right.
We individualize these things.
Yeah.
We think that, well, if I do X, Y, or Z, I'm going to give the devil a foothold in my life. I understand what we mean. Or if I do X, Y, or Z, I'm going to grieve the Holy Spirit. I understand what you mean. But grieving the Holy Spirit is actually speaking directly to anger and bitterness and division in the church that grieves the Spirit of God. Anger, division, quarreling in the church is also what is said to be the foothold that the devil gets.
That's right.
I mean, so like, that's important.
Dude, it's crazy
for
it's
us
like,
to think about.
Yeah, it's like, you know, if you engage in something that is not helpful, he's like, don't do that. He's like, dude, you're letting Satan into the church.
Right.
I mean, that is like, wait, what?
Right.
So your options are the spirit of resurrecting power comes in or it's Satan.
Yeah.
Those are your options.
Yeah. And this is why, I mean, underneath all of the ink that's spilled in the New Testament regarding unity and charity and forgiveness, humility, love, right? All of that ink that is spilled is because of this. Because the church is the context in which Christians are to live life. The church gathered is the context in which the Lord Jesus Christ is present with his people in a unique way. Because somebody might ask, well, isn't Christ with us all the time? Yes, he is. But he has promised to be with us in very unique and special ways when we're gathered and the means that he's given, his word and his ordinances and all these things, those things are administered. Christ works. So that's sacred. It's precious. And we need to protect it. And whenever we are divided, there's anger that's just festering. This is the whole, like, don't let the sun go down on your anger thing. Mm-hmm. Well, why? Because that anger that festers leads to division. And division in the church is detrimental to us all.
Right.
Because this is where we are supernaturally met by God, fed by God, nourished by God, protected by God. And we need to work to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And we pray for that.
That's right.
If you're new to Theocast, you may not have heard of this word. It's called pietism. Have you ever felt like the Christian life is a heavy burden versus rest and joy? That you wake up worrying about how well you're going to perform instead of thinking about what Christ has done for you? It's dread versus joy, really. That's pietism. Pietism causes Christians to look in on themselves and find their hope not in what Christ has done, but what they're doing. And we have a little book for you. It's free. We want you to download it. And we're going to explain the difference between pietism and what we call confessionalism. Reformed theology, really. How it is that we walk by faith, seeing the joy of Christ. And when Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest, what does that look like? You can download it at our website. Just go to theocast.org.
So yeah. Connecting to like our, you know, what are we supposed to do? Are Christians supposed to be disciplined? Yeah. I mean,
we are
actually
sure.
Fighting to keep disunity and destructive talk, backbiting, gossip. We have to work really hard to get that out of our congregation, out of our hearts and our minds. The best way to do that is to keep hearing Christ for you week in and week out, keeping short lists on
and short accounts.
Short accounts. And then understanding that, you know, Justin, the moment that my mind switched, and I'll say this, I show up every Sunday going, I cannot wait to meet my God in the Word today.
Yeah.
And people say, well, John, you have the Bible and God's everywhere at all times.
Sure.
You're right. I am so thankful he never abandons me and that I have the Word to encourage and strengthen me. But he does not make the promise of the resurrection power of the Spirit of God coming in and building me up in like he does in Ephesians. So that's a special, unique, weekly experience that Hebrews says, do not forsake.
Yeah.
Because you meet God in a way that is different.
Yeah.
No, it's true. I don't know how else to say that. And it is an experience.
It is different. And it's an experience, yes. And again, we're not encouraging people to trust what they experienced or what they felt, but it is to trust the Lord who has said, this is how this works. And that, yeah, this is utterly unique. So even like you mentioned the Bible, we have the Bible, we have God's Spirit. I think in our day, we are inclined and prone to think, because I've heard, you have too.
Sure.
I mean, I trust there maybe was a time when I even thought along these lines.
Oh, I know I did.
Right? I mean, people say, well, I have the Bible and I have the Holy Spirit.
Sure. And so he will lead you into all truth.
Yeah. Context matters for that. he's speaking to the apostles who are going to found the church and write the scriptures of the New Testament. But anyway, here we go.
No, that's important. He is speaking to the apostles about the explanation of what's happening according to the Messiah.
Exactly.
He will lead you to understand what I'm saying now that even though because the problem is they weren't understanding.
Right. This is not an individual promise to every believer ever that the Spirit of God will independently, you by yourself, lead you into perfect understanding.
Which it would contradict everything else what the Spirit then gives us.
People sometimes object. It's like, well, is this not, like, because I have the Word of God, are you saying that the Bible isn't enough? And because I have the Spirit of God, are you saying that the Spirit of God is just incapable of doing this? Are we not kind of slapping the Holy Spirit in the face by telling people that they need corporate worship and they need the church and they need pastors and they need teachers? I would say no, actually, because the Spirit of God himself in the Word that he gave is the one who told us that we need those things. He told us that we need pastors and teachers and we need the saints. We need the gathering. We need song. We need prayer. You know, we need each other. And so,
well, to your point, if you go back to Ephesians 4, he says, I've, through the power of the Spirit, given you preachers and teachers to do their work so that you will not be tossed about every wind of doctrine.
And so that we might attain to mature manhood. And
if you have the Holy Spirit, that Paul is saying, and you don't practice what I'm teaching you, you can be led into all kinds of bad doctrine.
Of course.
So yes, our conclusion is that in context, Jesus is talking to the disciples. Later on, he's saying, hey, look, just because you have the Holy Spirit doesn't mean you cannot be deceived. Be sober-minded, be watchful, right? Put yourself under the protection of elders. Mm-hmm. This is all Spirit empowerment. So we have to be careful not to take one verse out of context and say, I'm good to go. And I think this happens a lot on either side too, like having a spiritual... I had someone on YouTube comment. I hardly ever read them, but someone sent it to me because that was funny. They're like, you have no right to talk about these things because you haven't had a second filling of the Holy Spirit. You haven't had a second baptism. And I just kind of chuckled, right? It's like we can get all kinds of wild doctrines and we get afraid. So in the Reform world, we get afraid of the negative aspects of them. And I'm like, I'm all for that because I've been affected by them. Uh-huh. But at the same time, I'm like, but this text still says this. Mm-hmm. And I'm not a biblicist, and I'm not outside the biblical realms of the creeds and confessions.
Sure.
And we are ordinary means of grace, guys. And we think that through the ordinary voice, reflection, and gathered church, God supernaturally brings spiritual experiences that feed the soul. Corinthians, when Paul says, are you not participating in the blessings of Jesus when you are taking of the bread?
And this bread that we break and this cup that we drink. Yeah.
I mean, how else do you explain
the body and blood
of Christ?
How
are you not participating in the blessings?
And it's like, well, yeah, for that to be true, that means that this is inherently spiritual and supernatural for me to be doing that.
Yep.
Yeah.
100%. And this goes, I'll make a comment. And this is kind of like a salad bar of an episode, but what we want to do is just start helping you think about every day. Your faith is a supernatural experience. Justin, I think people struggle with prayer, and prayer becomes a dirty word because it's been turned into an external, like body, physical. I do the work, and I'm hoping that like it'll work out for me. Mm-hmm. And the way in which the Bible describes prayer is that it's a means of grace.
Yeah.
The prayer that you and I prayed right before we started, we're like, Lord, you know, we need wisdom and we know you'll provide that. And I was expecting the Lord to provide wisdom for you and I when we did this podcast. You know, what is wisdom? The Bible says, James says that it's meekness and gentleness and humility and open to reason. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, Justin and I are going to need that. We're tired.
Yeah.
We're prideful men. Sure. We're lazy. You know, we need to, but I mean, we could be lazy with our hearts and our minds. Sure.
Or, you know, yeah, it's easier to just, we enjoy each other. We're good friends and we don't always get to be in the same room and have a conversation. It's easy for us to, not that we're just like wasting time at all, but it's easy for us to just sit around and talk and catch up and talk theology and nerd out on this and not get other things accomplished.
That's right.
Sure. Yeah.
So for me, the more, you know, realizing what rationalism and the Enlightenment has done, make us afraid of, I love saying this, resurrection power in the life of the church. Yeah. Paul says that a couple of times. You know, he says it again in Colossians about the same power that raised Christ from the dead is the same power that lives in you.
And he says it in Ephesians 1.
Yeah, I know.
You know, and prays that we would actually be able to see this.
That's right.
Like that that our hearts, the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened.
Yeah.
You know, so that we might know the hope to which we've been called.
Yeah.
Beautiful. The riches of his, that meaning Christ's glorious inheritance of the saints, beautiful, and that we would know the greatness of the power that is at work in us, none other than the power that raised Christ from the dead.
Yeah, and I think I love to tell people, you should expect these things.
You should.
Because there's a lot of disappointment in Christianity because we're expecting healing, problem solving, and like, it's prosperity gospel.
Yeah.
And the Bible is very clear that you live in a war and a fading body, and your body is constantly fading, but the inner man is constantly being renewed.
Right.
And it's being renewed by supernatural gifts, supernatural means, which means you can have a fading body, a horrible experience in the world, and yet joy unspeakable.
Right. I think you were just talking about being expectant.
Yeah.
Another word we could throw in there is hopeful. Mm-hmm. And that by that, I don't mean, well, I hope, like I wish that this might happen, that not that, like hopeful in an expectant way.
Yeah.
We use that language in our services. We will pray that a lot, like even in a prayer of invocation or even before the word is preached, that we come acknowledging and owning our weakness and frailty. We come actually with no hope whatsoever, no confidence in ourselves.
Yeah.
But we come full of hope and expectation because of who God is, because of what God's like, and because he's promised to meet us now and to minister to us now. I think that if we were talking like this all the time with one another in the church, like in our own local churches, with our brothers and sisters, this would be a good thing. Because we're happy to acknowledge, we did this week too, just talking about some of this and the value of being together and how the Lord ministers to us and even what are good things that we should prioritize in the Christian life. And all right, what do we do? What do we discipline ourselves for? I think one of the things that we discipline ourselves to do is to orient our lives around the gathering on the Lord's day. That's a discipline.
It is.
It takes intentionality, particularly in our culture. And so that's something that we in our families, in our households, I mean, we have to be serious about this.
That's right.
And unashamed. But here's where I want to go. I think we can acknowledge that you and I as pastors, this is true for us. I know this is true for many families in Covenant Baptist Church. That first of all, the devil wages war, assaults and assails us. How often do we wake up on Sunday mornings and we're doing things? Of course, you and I are often, you know, we're getting ready for church in our various ways. I have a kind of a Sunday morning routine.
Same.
That's not the point. But how often is it like, man, if something chaotic can happen, it's going to happen on Sunday morning. The kids won't be doing well. This is going to happen. This thing breaks. This doesn't work right. And we're trying to get out the door and get to church. And this just feels hard. Or, you just wake up and man, I just don't feel very encouraged today and whatever. And absolutely, we should acknowledge that it can be difficult to just get to church sometimes. There are going to be a lot of Sundays when you don't feel like going. This is going to be true for a lot of people in our church. But we should talk like this with each other. Like, sometimes it's hard to show up. Sometimes you don't feel like coming. But it is so good to come. It is so good to be here because the Lord's here. That's He's right. with us. He's going to meet us. He's going to do something for us that we could never do for ourselves. He is faithful to us. He loves us so. And let's all come, as hard as it may have been today, and as much as we might not have wanted to come today, let's all come with that hope and that expectation and encourage one another in Christ Jesus as we're together. Mm. And we will not have regretted prioritizing this and coming today.
That's right.
And then let's spend some more time together on the Lord's Day.
That's right.
And think and reflect. And then let's live from what the Lord is doing in our midst on the Lord's Day. Let's talk about this through the week. Mm. This is what it is to live an ordinary means of grace driven Christian life.
That's right.
And I think that we need to reclaim that kind of talk.
Yep.
In the church.
As you were talking about the whole experience with the kids, sometimes we're like, oh, you guys are blaming everything on Satan. I said, well, our confession says we have three enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil.
Yeah.
And I think there could be a combination of those things, or Satan can use a combination of those things.
Yes.
But the point you're trying to make is that we don't live in a world where it's made easy to receive spiritual blessings.
It is not. And I am just acknowledging the reality of spiritual warfare that is shot through the scriptures and the Christian tradition, where it is very obvious that the devil and the forces of darkness, principalities and powers and all those things, I mean, do wage war against us. He doesn't just
accuse wants to keep us from church,
of course,
for sure.
Of course.
Destroy the church or corrupt the church.
Of course.
All of those things.
The only explanations for so many things that happen in life, it's like, well, this is spiritual warfare and it's the curse.
Sure.
Right? So both are true. It's spiritual warfare and it is the curse in terms of what it has done to the world and what it's done to my flesh.
Right.
And that is always at play. And what we need to continue to do is press on, dare I say, in discipline. You know, to encourage one another, to be present with one another on the Lord's Day, and to live from that, make that an intentional, conscious part of our conversation and interaction through the week. And the Lord's going to bless it.
Yeah, you know? I think I said this earlier in the conference, going back to Hebrews when he says, laying aside the weight and the sin that easily besets us, from what? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And I would say that there aren't always things that are sinful that can keep us from the church. They also could just be things that are weighting us down, you know, sports or entertainment or jobs.
Sure, man.
A lot of things, laziness. And so it's not that you and I are geeked up about church attendance. Justin, when I think about what I've gone through, I mean, I'll say this. Yesterday was 23 years ago that my father had passed away.
Yeah.
You and I shepherd people who lose children. You know, I've got people in my church that have cancer. I have a lot of people in my church that battle depression. And what I'm not telling them is just, you know, show up and do your part. What I want them to hear is there is hope beyond the grave. There's hope beyond the experience. There's hope beyond the frailty. I had a dear, precious lady show up recently, her first time visiting, who battles depression. I mean, she just felt the freedom to just tell me, you know, how she felt, just because she was like, I've never seen a church so open about their frailty and so excited about Jesus. And that's what we're trying to express to you. And listen, it's the way in which our church, our world works. If you can't find a church that is this way and you're not able to start a church, your soul is so important. Mm-hmm. If you can, you should move.
If
find
it,
find a church, because Justin, I miss a Sunday and I feel off.
I know, brother.
I feel off.
And it's not just about being a creature of habit. I think there is a spiritual reality to this. And like you were talking about just now, man, it's beautiful. We do strive. I know you do. I know I do. I know that the churches of the Grace Reform Network do. I had several people who were new to the network come talk to me pointedly and said, I have never been a part of something where, Christ is exalted like this, but then we are speaking so honestly, or you guys were speaking so honestly about your own frailty and our neediness.
Yeah.
Like this is cool.
Yeah.
And that hear us pastorally saying that because we are weak and because we're frail and because we need, all the more reason for us to come. Mm. To be with the saints, to be lifted up by the voices and on the shoulders of our brothers and sisters, and ultimately for us to come to receive from the ministry of Christ who loves us so. That's what we mean. Mm. It's not just about church attendance, checking a box, being some, you know, Kevlar, you know, super Christian. It's not about that at all. It's like in the midst of the heartbreak and the weakness and the sorrow and the pain, and just the fact that you ain't got it, neither do I. In the midst of all that, come and cast yourself with me, with us. Mm. Let's let us cast ourselves into the arms of our Savior who has us.
Yeah. And now I think there does become a soul refreshing experience that it does manifest itself in joy and tears. And so at times it can manifest itself in repentance of sorrow of like, wow, I feel ashamed for the ways in which I know I've replaced Jesus this week with something else.
And if you're hearing us, this is a far cry from certainly entertainment in the church. Sure. This is also a far cry from happy, clappy triumphalism.
Sure.
Or just this, you know, a different kind of triumphalism where it's like, yeah, man, we're serious Christians here, you know, and we're so strong spiritually because we've been faithful that we just live above the fray. It ain't that at all. Mm-mm. Like the church, you know, it's part hospital. In some ways, it's almost like part like a, I don't know. I want to say like a mental institution. I mean, it is because like there's ways in which we're about going crazy. Mm-hmm. So it's part hospital. It's part like institution like that. It's a haven for sinners. It's where we come, not because we have it all together, not because we're strong, but because we've messed up this week and we failed this week and we actually are not strong in ourselves. Yeah. And so we come in need to receive.
Yeah.
And, but we come hopeful and expectant of an experience with the living God that he's going to meet with us and he's going to do something in us that I might not be aware of. I'm certainly not going to be aware of to the extent that I should be, but that over the course of my lifetime, this is what's going to sustain me.
Mm. Here's my last thought.
Yeah.
As I was sitting there processing some things I've been thinking about. So the Holy Spirit lives in me and in you.
Yeah.
And on Sundays, God feeds our soul.
Yeah.
First of all, through our ears, by the hearing of the gospel, through our eyes, by seeing each other express the glory of Christ, right? Yeah. In our words, in our affection, our bodies, when we embrace each other, you know, giving each other a holy kiss, this idea of whether it's in proximity of a showing affection, and then through our mouths, right? Mm-hmm. Our soul is fed through our mouth, meaning we taste the bread and the wine. It's beautiful, right? It's beautiful when you think about your entire body experiences a soul refreshment, mm-hmm. and that's how God designed it, that our soul experiences the physical realm. And then I love this. He says, and one day your body will no longer be used as the mechanism because it's broken. Mm-hmm. One day the entirety of the person will be in my presence, and the entirety soul, mind, and body will have this experience. So that's
great.
I just want people to recover that and not be afraid of the woo-woo weirdo, you know, factor of it, because you know what? It is strange and people will mock it and they will make fun of it. And Paul's like, and I'm not ashamed.
Right. And part of the reason, I mean, this is just a thought, the woo-woo thing and people being afraid of it. Don't hear us saying that this isn't orderly. Because of course, like what we're doing, we take the scripture seriously too. There is an order and a liturgy and all. I mean,
it's very somber in my church anyways.
Yeah. So like, don't misunderstand. Yeah. But even in
there's no glitter clouds coming down.
No, and in that orderliness, and it's not just like chaos.
Yeah.
Chaos. It's not just chaos. It's very orderly. It's thoughtful. And the Spirit of God inhabits and meets with us.
Yeah, well, the chaos dragon, or that's what Satan is really described as, is chaos. Yeah. And this is why it's interesting. The New Testament says everything should be done in decency and order, because the opposite of chaos is God's orderliness. And so there is an essence where we want our churches to not be chaos.
Of course. And I mean, that's part of what God did in the very beginning, is he took what was chaos and chaotic and unordered, and he ordered it anyway. All right, we've said a number of things. This was a good conversation, man. It's fun to be able to sit with you and talk. I hope that you, the listener, have enjoyed this as well.
Little insight what our conversations around the fire at times sound like.
Yeah, sure.
And this is actually a conversation we had.
A little bit of a, like you called it a salad bar or a buffet of a podcast, but
here, there,
generally around like reclaiming experience in a good way as reformed confessional Christians. And so hopefully this has helped you
expecting
in some way.
Experience.
Be hopeful and be expectant, because God loves you and he's faithful and Christ is present with us in a unique way when we gather. So if you gather with your church, which we hope you do on this coming Lord's Day, show up with this kind of posture and Christ will minister to you. Anyway, until next time, peace.
Hey guys, real quick, some of you are listening to this and it's encouraging to you, but you have questions. So where do you go? How do you interact with other people who have the same questions and share resources? We have started something called the Theocast Community. And we're excited because not only is it a place for you to connect, with other like-minded believers. All of our resources are there. Past podcasts, education materials, articles, all of it's there. And you can share it and ask questions. You can go check it out. The link is in the description below.